Simple Odyssey. Oh, what's up, Odyssey?
Welcome to episode 39 of the Improvised Music Agenda podcast. Who we hear back there is our guest this week, Ruth Goller. Let's listen in. Hi, how's it all going? Yeah, it's the 39th time I've done this. I didn't know I'd do this many podcasts, but yeah, thanks for sticking in and listening. So I'm your host, Hoovy Williams, if you've not listened before. And yeah, if you have listened before, welcome back. Thanks for joining in again. So I guess this week is Ruth Goller, as you heard up top. And yeah, this was a great chat. And this happened during the London Jazz Festival. So this was on the 24th of November 2019, this interview took place. It was just before Ruth's gig at the Vortex with her group Skiller, which you heard in the intro there. Yeah, so yeah, big hand for Ruth as well for coming on the podcast. And yeah, so I felt a bit guilty as if I put her on the spot a bit because I didn't think she knew it was a live thing until a few minutes beforehand. So yeah, sorry about that, Ruth. But yeah, but she was great. Anyway, before we carry on to say a little more about Ruth, if you're enjoying the podcast and want to give in some money, that would be great. Obviously, it's very expensive to run a podcast, especially on a musician's wage, and especially on a musician's wage trying to look after a little one. So yeah, if you have anything you want to give to the Patreon page, I will put a link of that up. And yeah, right, also there's an Instagram page for the podcast, so yeah, look that up. So that's under, well, if you just search Improvised Music Agenda podcast, you should be able to find the Instagram page. And yeah, so yeah, I've set up an email as well. So the email is, hang on, I'm going to pause this as I look the email up because I'm very badly prepared in this intro. I'm back. Right. So the email is improvisedmusicagenda@gmail.com. Yeah. So if you have any questions about anything that you want to ask the podcast, do please get in touch. Yeah. Because it'd be nice if people were to email in with any questions. And I can read them out like a proper podcast. And yeah, so yeah, that's another thing. And yeah, but in general, don't hesitate to get in touch. It's been nice getting some correspondence from people who listen to the podcast and I've not met before. So yeah, helping growing the community, can be a part of it. Right, Ruth Goller. If you're not familiar with her music, she is an incredible bass guitarist and double bass player. So yeah, she's one of my favourite electric bass players, hands down. Yeah, she's got, well, great energy and plays with the pick as well. It's like really refreshing seeing someone rocking out. And yeah, I'm quite jealous of that. Oh yeah, I wish I could rock out like that. Anyway, yeah, so it was a great chat with Ruth. We talked about her background with music and how she got into it. And yeah, we found out we had the same bass teacher, Dudley Phillips. Yeah, we mentioned that a bit in the podcast. And yeah, yeah, hope you enjoyed the podcast as much as I did. Sorry it's a little shorter than usual. We were kind of against it with time. But yeah, do please check in again and I'll chat to you at the end. Here's Ruth Goller. Second guest today, Ruth Goller. Cool. How you doing, Ruth?
Yeah,
all good.
Good.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you had like a really busy week this week, right? With the festival.
Yeah, it was really busy. Yeah, I was playing on Monday with Vous Laviel at Zedel's, which was great. And I was playing on Tuesday. It's gone now. I think I was playing at Ministry of Sound.
Oh wow, yeah.
Which was, yeah, it was a bit weird, but it was a good gig. It was good with Melt Yourself Down. And on Wednesday, which was yesterday, was that yesterday? No. I'm not going to say which days because I can't remember. But cool. Then I played a Purcell Room as well with Laura Judd Trio. And yeah, I'm here today. I missed a couple of days in the middle.
Yeah, so good.
I did something.
Brilliant. So yeah, so tonight you're going to be playing with Skilla.
Yeah.
So is this the first gig you've done with this group?
No, we've done two, I think. So yeah, we did one in Cologne, which was our first gig last year, and then we did one at the. This place in Shoreditch, is it the 100 Gallery? What's it called?
Oh, 100 Years Gallery.
100 Years yeah. Gallery, yeah. Yeah, we played there. And yeah, so.
Brilliant, yeah. So, but from the clips of, well, because I know there's two tunes on, well, you've released as videos.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so it's like really different to the stuff I've heard you do before. So I guess like with the concept of that group, all vocals, and is it just harmonics you're playing on the bass?
Yeah, it's mainly harmonics. I mean, everything the vocals sing is played on harmonics, and how it happened is because every tune is obviously because it's all harmonics, so every tune I detune the bass to different notes. Otherwise, you just get the same harmonic.
Yeah, yeah.
Series. So the first time actually it just happened to be like that in my bass case, you know, when you take your bass out. And it's just a weird tuning, and I just started playing and I realized that I really liked whatever was coming out, but I didn't, because you don't know where any of the notes are like that, so but you kind of find your way around and you find little melodies like that. And so it's kind of based on this principle of kind of. Some of the tunes have really been random tuning, like literally when I picked it up, it happened to be in that tuning and I liked it. Other ones have worked more on tuning, so sort of slightly tuned something up if I felt it needed to be adjusted. And
oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess like with all the different tunings, so while composing some of these, so you try out like different things, so what am I trying to say? So like I guess you change just one string, or do you try and change the parameters?
It's all of them, yeah. And they're not all in 440 either. So it's really difficult for Lauren and Alice because a couple of the strings might be slightly sharp.
Oh, right, okay.
And the other two, not. So it's... But, yeah. It's it works. And they're so great. They just pick it up really quickly and, you know. I mean, you know, harmonics are kind of bendy anyway.
Yeah, it's
where you play them on the strings and how old your strings are, all these kind of things.
Yeah.
that's how it happened.
So, but with this project, because you previously did a project with Alice, didn't you? Was it Normal?
Mm-hmm. Normal Gimbal, yeah.
So is this kind of like a continuation of that group?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. It wasn't meant to be, but I think I've always, like when you play the bass, you sort of sing and I'm sure everyone does that, and just end up writing tunes. So Normal Gimbal, it started existing like that, and this one as well. So in a way, it is Normal Gimbal. I mean, I really wanted Alice to be part of it because I love her singing, and I couldn't really imagine anyone else other than Lauren either on it. So it's definitely a development from that.
Brilliant, cool, So, if I was to rewind all the way back, when you were growing up, getting into music, where would you grow up? Was it north of Italy?
In the Alps, in the north of Italy.
Oh, great. And then, about how you got into music, so I was listening to an interview earlier that you did. I guess, like, all started off with, like, punk rock and stuff.
Yeah, you know, when I was at school, I was playing a lot, like, punk rock and sort of rock music. And
So, what sort of bands were you checking out?
Like Dead Kennedys was like my favorite band, and so kind of hardcore bands, you know.
Cool, yeah. No, I really started getting into that because I bought like a Bad Brains CD.
Yeah, I love Bad Brains. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what's that story about them? Didn't they start off as like a Return to Forever tribute band or something?
Really?
You heard that story? Yeah.
No, I don't. I thought they play like, isn't there like a dub band? And on a Sunday, they all only play dub.
Really?
Yeah, because they're like rasters. I think that's how. I'm not totally sure, but I'm sure.
All right, yeah.
I read that somewhere. Well, on a Sunday, they don't play any like hardcore. It's only on weekdays and Saturdays.
Yeah, like because I got into this thing for a while. What's that band? Cro-Mags. You heard them, like New York hardcore band from that time. But the lead singer for them, he used to be a roadie for Bad Brains.
Oh, really?
But apparently they were like, they wouldn't let anyone work with them unless they were vegetarian.
Oh, really?
What was that diet? Was it ITAL diet? Like, yeah, so like no oil or salt or anything. It's kind of like all like hardcore kind of pre-vegan kind of culture thing.
Did they survive?
Yeah, exactly. It's mega. Yeah. Sounds like good food, though. You know. But anyway, sorry, I went off on one there. So all that kind of, so the punk rock thing. So you were playing, so were you playing a bunch around that time as well when you were a teenager in like bands and stuff?
Yeah, I mean like sort of school level bands, you know, sort of around the region. We were doing some sort of open air festival gigs and it. Yeah, I was also playing guitar at the time. I started playing it. I don't know how to play guitar. I still don't know how to do it. But it was sort of power chords, you know. So and then towards the end of that, I started playing bass. So then we had two basses in the band and two guitars. And that's how I started playing bass. So quite late, actually, when I was like 18 or something, yeah.
Oh, cool. So like, which bass players were you like really into? To begin with,
at that time, nobody. I didn't know anything.
All right, cool.
I didn't know any music, or you know, it's quite a. This area is not very connected to, like, we didn't really get exposed to a lot of things. You know, this was. I don't think I even had the internet even at that time, so it was, you know. Yeah, I'd never heard about jazz before. Or I'd never heard, you know, this all. Happened a lot later when I moved here and I sort of started discovering more music.
Oh, cool. So you moved to the UK before you kind of started getting into the whole jazz thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right.
Okay, kind of to start studying music, really. That's why I moved here.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So did you sign up to a college here?
Yeah.
Where did you go to begin with?
Well, when I first came here, I did like an introduction course, because I was really a beginner at playing the bass, you know. I didn't know anything, like didn't know where any of the notes were. I didn't know, like, zero. It was completely like instinctive what I was doing,
right, okay,
which is
yeah.
Great but different, you know. But I decided I want to learn how to I wanted to learn about music. I wanted to learn about harmony and all that, so I signed up to this 1 year. It's like an introduction course. I think it was called the London Music School at the time. I don't know whether it still exists, actually. And it was great. I was there like 6 days a week from 9 a.m. till 7 p.m. We got, you know, just learned how to read. We had loads of different classes, really sort of for beginners, you know. I just started learning different styles of music, and that's when I started listening to loads of music then, and just discovering loads of music and jazz, and that's when I got into jazz a lot. And then after that, I decided I wanted to study more, and then I went to Middlesex University.
Ah, cool. So, yeah. All right, great. Then, yeah, so with Middlesex, so who are you studying with at that time there?
What teachers, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Dudley Phillips was my bass teacher.
Oh, great, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, no, he taught me as well.
Did he?
Welsh.
Yeah, oh, yeah, really? Totally. Where did you go to? Which school?
Royal Welsh in Cardiff,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know he taught there. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Dudley Phillips was my bass teacher, and Stuart Hall and Chris Batchelor. Rob Townsend, Nicky Owls, Mark Lockhart as well.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. And then, so in terms of the students there at the same time as you, so who's around? I guess there's a lot of people still around.
The Leadbib guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, around the same time. Oh,
yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah. They were like a year above me. So that's how I know Chris. And, you know, me and Chris, we still play together a lot as well. And Liran and Pete, obviously. And I think Mark was doing the masters at the time, but he was there at the same time as well, so they kind of started playing when I was there. Yeah,
great. And then so I guess like that was like an introduction to the whole jazz creative music scene?
Yeah, yeah. I started playing a lot during that time. I met loads of people and started doing gigs, and just kind of how it is at university, I suppose. You know, you're just there and just play a lot, and someone's got a gig and you start gigging. Okay.
Brilliant. Yeah. So, but was it all electric bass at that point?
Yeah, or? I was still doing only electric bass. Yeah, I started playing double bass a bit later, but I think I'm mainly an electric bass still now. You know, it's like what I do mainly. Although I love playing double bass, it's just on different kind of music, I suppose.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, so like when kind of like coming out of college. So, actually, I think the first time I heard you play was with Acoustic Ladyland.
Yeah.
Because I remember because that band was important to me. Because I remember, I think it might have been before you were playing with them, maybe, but they played like Jules Holland.
Oh yeah.
Then you know like. I think it's just one of those things, you know, being a teenager, that was on telly, and then like Mighty Boosh was around.
Oh,
we were
right.
Talking about jazz loads, it's like, oh, wow. and then I remember they bought that, the record they did with you, I remember, what was it called? Tiger.
Living with a Tiger.
Living with a Tiger, yeah. I remember thinking, oh, yeah, there's like a new lineup. Huh? What's this like? It's like, oh, shit, this is serious. So with that kind of group of people, so we're getting involved with those guys. So were you playing a lot with those guys before around that time? So that scene,
I kind of met those guys I met this guy, his guitarist called Johnny Phillips. He's got the band Oriole.
And
I met him, I think I was doing a gig somewhere in Brixton, and he was there as well, and then I started playing with him. This was sort of towards the end of when I was studying, and I started playing in Oriole, and then Seb was in Oriole as well, so that's how I met Seb. And so it kind of comes through this connection, you know. And then I think I started playing with Ladyland quite a few years after university, maybe 2 or 3 years after I finished. So, yeah.
Oh, brilliant, yeah. So, but yeah, like, but that music's mega, though. Like, so.
Oh, it's great, yeah.
Yeah,
so much fun.
Cause I suppose that's like coming from the whole like rock music thing. I guess that must have been.
Yeah, it was right down my street for sure.
Totally, yeah. But I love that. Seeing someone playing jazz. Well, not jazz, but like with a pick as well.
Yeah, actually, sort of around that time I started really getting into playing with the pick. You know. And
oh right, sure, yeah.
Before that, I didn't really. It was really helping me develop my sound. That band, you know, because they. Well, I sort of joined those group of people. They've been around for a lot longer than me and much, much more experienced. And, you know, so it just really helped me develop as well. And I think, it really made me who I am now as a musician
well.
Well, I suppose everything you do does somehow.
Yeah,
but
totally. But
it definitely was a big influence on me playing with them. Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. And then, but I guess like, so you, but that kind of developed into Melt Yourself Down, I suppose.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because, Ladyland was Pete's band, and then that kind of stopped, and Pete made this new project, and it was Melt Yourself Down. And then I knew Kush because I met him. I was sort of trying to join his band, and he was living in Bristol at the time, and I went over there, and we had a few plays over there, and Pete was like, I really need a singer, like I want to, and I was like, and Kush just moved to London at the time, so I was like, ask him now.
Right, yeah.
And it works out really well. They work really well together, those two, so it's been really good.
But with that music, so that's like the second record that's just come out recently, is it? With that band?
No, that was quite a long time ago. So the third one is coming out. I can't remember when the second one, but it was definitely the year, last year or 2 years ago even. So the next one's coming out early next year.
All right, sure. Yeah. But because I think I saw you guys play like Green Man a few years ago.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, like really energetic kind of.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess, but yeah. So like, just think about the whole all the musical worlds that you're involved with, because I guess there's like a lot of variation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. Like, yeah. How do you find the energy to?
Just being knackered all the time.
Yeah.
No, it's good.
Yeah, but so like projects happening at the moment. So I guess like Vulliviel and those guys. So yeah, so well, basically what I'm thinking with asking like with like the different processes with different groups they have to go with, because I guess a lot of what you do crosses between the whole. Well, I don't know, more like jazz formal, like or maybe like more reading kind of things, and then other things more like band based.
Yeah.
Memorizing. So, yeah. So I mean, like, do you have to put on different hats to go between them? Or?
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah. But that's fine. You know, I like lots of different kinds of music, so it's the same, really.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. And then, but yeah, but would you have, like, a certain process, like, you know, if you're kind of, like, a new project and having to go learn all that music?
Yeah, it takes me a long time to learn music. I'm not, like, one of these people that just... You know, it's really quick at picking things up. I'm very slow. And I also tend to forget a lot. I don't know whether it's just because I play with a lot of different people and there's a lot of different sets of music. And I mean, it also depends how regular the gigs are, you know. So, I mean, you know all this. So if you're gigging, like, with the same band for 2 months, by the end of it, you know it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But then if you don't do it for another few months, I definitely might forget it, where someone else might remember it for a long time, you know.
Sure, yeah.
So, but yeah, that's just the way it works. And some music is easier to memorize, other music is harder. Vulaviel is very, very difficult to memorize.
Yeah.
So it's a nightmare.
Okay, yeah. So
I love it, but it's a nightmare to memorize because it's very, yeah, it's very complicated.
Yeah, so but yeah, because I was thinking with like the systems used in that music.
Mm.
So I guess it's all coming from traditional West African music.
Yeah, it comes from traditional Ghanaian funeral music. It's okay. Like this tribe, the Dagari tribe in the north of Ghana. That's, and they play this instrument and this kind of music at funerals.
Right, yeah.
So they have specific forms you have to follow, like really, really long forms. And because it's all G major pentatonic, so it's very difficult to... If you get lost within the form, it's very difficult to hear where you are because it all sounds really, really similar. So, but there's cells of three-note cells, like A and B, which within the form you might get like A, B, 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 A, A, B, A, B, B, A. So
right,
it's all
okay,
like really, really long. So if you are like somewhere down the form, it sounds really similar to anywhere else in the forms.
Right. Oh, wow.
To me, you know, not to them.
But so, that sounds mad.
Yeah.
So I guess like, yeah, so like when it resolves, it's like the resolution
takes
longer.
It doesn't
longer.
Resolve. It's just always like back.
Oh, it's always
yeah,
jumping.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in the funeral music. But it's Bex has definitely developed that music into her own by now, you know.
Right,
so
yeah,
the
yeah.
first album she did was traditional tunes, and the second one we did together was based on funeral, her writing, but based on those forms mainly. And now the one that we've recorded now is it's really much her own. She's really made it her own now, you know. But still sort of within... She's obviously heavily influenced by that, so it comes out, you know. She makes her own forms now and her own melodies and stuff. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's great.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. So, but I'm just thinking like with the, yeah, like composing and stuff. So, yeah. So, I guess have you had like projects prior to Skiller where you've composed?
Sorry, which one?
Oh no, I mean like so like being a band leader kind of thing.
If I've been a band leader before, not really. No, it's quite a new thing. I mean, I had some gigs where I was sort of trying to. I've always written music, but not for, you know, sort of four different bands.
Oh,
or
right, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess like in a collective.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, I think Skiller is definitely the sort of first one where I'm like, okay, this is my band, yeah.
But because this might be a callback, because I did a podcast with Moss Fried. Last week here, but yeah, but like the but he was mentioning a tune of yours on the Let's Spin records. I like to sound like a rainforest.
Yeah,
yeah, it was a Charlie Hayden reference.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like did that. You see it's that good. Video?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know if anyone here has seen it. Where I don't know how to describe the video. It's like, yeah, you just kind of in a classroom, like all these really silent students that are checking everything out, and then it's like. Charlie Hayden's going on about something. He's like, yeah, I like to sound like a rainforest.
Yeah, and it's just like got these dark glasses on. It just talks really slowly. It's very funny.
It's incredible, but yeah, it's like... which sort of makes sense, but doesn't make sense at the same time as well. Just love the idea of it. Cool. So yeah, so to wrap up, so what else have you got coming up in the next few months?
We're doing another Skiller gig at Café Otto on the 3rd of December.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. Doing a secret show with Melt Yourself Down. It's still secret.
Cool.
But ask me if you want to know about it. and I'm playing with Bex as well. We got Vula Vel gig in Belgium in a couple of weeks. And I'm playing with the Lips Choir, which is a choir... A women's choir I play with. They always do a Christmas show, which I always am part of. I'm playing. Kit's got his album launch soon. I'm playing one tune, the tune.
So the one of the Skiller tunes.
Yeah.
He had on his latest record, or has on his latest record.
Yeah. So I'm gonna play on that tune on the album launch as well. At King's Place, which is going to be great.
Brilliant.
I'd have to check my diary for more. But
cool, nice one. Cool, sounds super busy. But thanks so much for doing the podcast.
Thank you, and thanks for inviting me.
Big round of applause. Ruth Gottler, everyone. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed that. Just another reminder, on March the 2nd, I will be doing another live podcast with a very special guest. It's not confirmed totally yet with the guest, but it should be a special one. Also, on that evening, I will be inviting previous podcast guests to come and play in some ad hoc groups. So, I thought put a call out there now for people who have been on the podcast, who listen to it. Do please get in touch if you want to play. Anyway, so next episode is episode 40, and I've got a very special guest for episode 40, one of my musical heroes. And yeah, so do keep tuned for that. So hit the subscribe button, and I'll see you next time. Bye.